When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am one of your hosts, Anna, and I am joined, as always, by my book besties, Kim and Christina.
Hi!
Hello!
Hello, friends!
Oh, hi, besties. Man, guys.
Oh, God.
Ooh, Nelly.
Okay, so we are discussing Children of Fallen Gods by Carissa Broadbent, specifically, and this is very important, only part one of the book. We have not finished the book.
No.
So there are no spoilers for the second part of book two.
Couldn't spoil it if we wanted to.
We don't know. 'Tis a mystery.
This is fun. It's a little different for us
to
do it this way. So, all right. So consider this your spoiler warning for all of book one and half of book two.
Yeah.
And obviously we have not finished the series, so we have no idea how it ends.
Yes. Yeah. Warning, we might sound like dum-dums because we don't know.
Yeah. But don't yell at us because we haven't finished. I mean, you can. We
might have some crazy theories that are absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we should come back and re-listen to this after we finish the book, like listen to our theories and be like, oh my God, you guys.
We'll go back through our outline and be like, okay, not correct, not correct, not correct.
Definitely a hummingbird.
100%. Just like that little trinket. That
yes.
was her.
Oh my God.
She is that. Okay, so where should we start?
Okay, so let's quickly where we left our heroes. Mm-hmm. So Tisana and Max are on their way back to Ara. They mm-hmm. went to Esmer, where, you know, Tisana was a slave, and mm-hmm. they rescued and freed all the slaves there. Specifically, not the entire of Threl, but the one city that she was living in, mm-hmm. which is important later.
So they
are on their way back on a ship with Nura, Samarin, obviously Tisana and Max.
Yeah.
And like their new silent brother friends. What are they called? Cesarian?
They're called Cerizans.
Sorry, guys. If you haven't read any of, what's her name?
Cassie Clare.
Yeah, Cassie Clare. There's in her Infernal Devices series and her Lost Hours. There's silent. Oh, yeah, sorry. I guess. Yeah, sorry. There are. Yeah, all of them. Silent Brothers. And y'all, they are identical. Like, they are identical.
The only difference is that the Cesarians in Carissa Broadbent's books have their eyes sewn shut. And in this, it's their, in Cassie Clare's books, it's the mouth sewn shut.
Oh,
so their eyes are open.
Touche. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So they're on their way back to Ara with all of the freed slaves, and Tisana now, the Blood Pact stated that if she had Ara's help and the Order's help to go free all the slaves in mm-hmm. Threl, mm-hmm. then that she now has to go fight Xerath's war. And until that war is finished, and or 5 years have passed, and or she dies.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So
whichever comes first.
Whichever comes first. And that is where basically everything leaves off.
Yes.
I mean, the only other thing is like Riche, I guess.
Yeah.
She kind of learns how to control Riche in some way, mm-hmm. I guess, which is important in this book.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But yeah, that's it. Okay. So get into Ara. They, you know, whatever. They're at the docks. And it quickly appears that something is not right.
Shit has hit the fan back home.
Ultimately hit the fan.
Because if we remember Xerath's little letter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right.
That was the end of book one, is he's like, I have killed the queen.
Yeah. The queen is dead.
Receiving this note, the queen is dead.
Yeah. I was like, okay, she's 12. So this is, we've killed her. So we just killed the queen. And like, by the way, that never gets brought up again. Like, nobody talks about the fact that he killed a 12-year-old.
Nope.
So just no, like.
Just her uncle at the very end, when what's her name? When Tisana's chained up, he goes, and he killed a 14-year-old girl. And I was like, thanks, somebody brought it up. Like,
oh my God, I didn't even put it together that he was talking about. I was like, he killed your random family member. So what? And I was like, okay, he's talking about
the queen. It's her uncle.
Got it. Okay. Woohoo! Over my head.
Oh my God, Kim, I thought the same thing. I thought he was just making a point of like, she was one of the fallen. Like, he had a family member that was a child that he killed somewhere. And I'm like, well, there are a lot of children killed, which
so
is terrible.
Random.
But like, I feel like I was like, sir, Xerath is terrible. I was not thinking about that it was Cessary.
Ditto.
That's
okay,
really
got
funny.
It. Okay,
that's
well, really you know what? Thank God somebody said it, because nobody's like, oh, wait, you actually killed a innocent preteen girl, and he's like,
and I can't figure out. I think Nora knows the truth, but I don't know that T'Shana and Max.
Nora
I mean,
knows
maybe
a lot
they suspect
of that we don't.
Yeah, Nora's secrets are what is it? Her hair is
her
full
hair
of
is so big. That's her. It's full of secrets.
It's
that's why
so
her hair
full
is so
of
big.
Secrets. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So they're like, something's wrong, to the point where they're like, she's like, I'm not even taking the refugees up there. We're going to get in a small boat and we're going to take our little boat ahead. You guys stay here on the seas. Yeah. And then they get up there and shit's hit the fan. And they're
Atric or whatever, the uncle who's like, I'm the king now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which fine. That's fine. I probably like you more than I like Xerath, but I don't know you.
True.
Well, yeah.
But then, you didn't kill a child, so.
So, scale? Who cares?
But he's like, you know, shoot first, ask questions later.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So there's a little skirmish, a battle, and then God, I'm going to keep calling them the Silent Brothers.
It's the Silent Sisters.
It's.
Okay.
The Sirizen winnow them to freaking Max's childhood home, which is where fucking Xerath has set up shop.
Guys.
At his childhood home where his entire family died.
By his hand. I lost it. I lost it at this. I was like, the audacity, sir. It was by his hand. The audacity, sir.
And it's not it's not funny.
Kimberly, get it together.
It's not funny, but it's like...
was livid. So they get there and Max goes, why are we here? And everyone's like, oh, yeah. In that moment I was like, yeah, he's just mad because they took him there. And then he's like, sure. No, why are we here? And
here.
Then it got put together and I was like, you made this man come back here? You have done a lot of shitty things, but this may be the shittiest, sir. Like, don't you make him relive
And
this.
Then he, like, invites them to dinner.
Oh,
like,
it's awful. There's a part where Max, like, puts his hands on the table and he, like, feels
where
an
his
etching
brother?
That his brother put
from
in there. And he's
brother.
Like, oh, my God. Guys.
Xerath is so evil.
I hate him.
If there's some, like, weird twist where he ends up being good, I'm going to be really mad.
I don't want
to. I don't want him to have a redemption arc.
Nura can have. She's setting Nura up to have something. Fucking take him out. Like, I don't care about him. I don't want him to be good.
I don't want him to be good. Even, honestly, Rishay is fucking evil and evil. But in some ways, I'm like, if Rishay died to save everybody, I'd be like, okay, you've redeemed yourself a little bit. I don't want Xerath to have any redemption. I don't know why I hate him so much.
No, I don't care what's wrong with him. I don't care what's going on with him. I'm like, good. I hope you are dying. Good.
Serves you right.
Yeah.
Serves you right.
I love every second of it. I'm like, good.
More veins.
Good. Like, this is what you get.
He can't finish a sentence. Because T'Shana's like, he can't seem to finish a sentence. The man is pacing. And I was like, good.
Good.
He's going crazy.
I love it.
He's going crazy.
I'm eating it
He's
out.
He's lipsing it. So they get there. It's so mean that they take them here.
It's awful.
Just aghast.
It's awful.
It was terrible. And they're there for like the whole fucking book. It was like, we're really posting up camp here.
Max is like, I can't stay in the house. Is that okay with you? And I was like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
You sweet angel.
That's awful. God. And really sad. And there's a lot of moments in this book, which we will get to, Max like coming to terms with things. Maybe that was the tool. Maybe the tool was like, this is where we're, how we're really like putting him in the place where we're getting this emotional growth between them.
He's having to face everything that he's been purposefully putting in the back burner.
Good point, Christina. I didn't think about that. I bet that is why she did that.
Yeah.
Good job,
Carissa. It was effective.
Look at that full circle moment we just had.
Yeah. Wow. We figured that out. We figured out what she was doing.
Geniuses? Are we literary geniuses?
Oh, my God.
Okay. We are. So
there's a couple important things we learn at the dinner table. One, Max has a brother that's alive. I'm sure this was mentioned, but totally forgot. Yes.
When was it mentioned?
No,
I have no memory of this.
Can someone go back to book one? Because I
did.
What is it mentioned?
Oh.
Was it in there?
So, well, in book one, he says he's not the oldest. He's the second oldest.
Okay.
And when he goes and, I'm not going to say he kills everybody. When Rishay kills his family, he only talks about his younger siblings.
Oh. Okay, so I'm sorry. So how we were supposed to know this was we were supposed to count in that horrific scene.
Yeah.
One,
let me keep track.
Three, four, only five. Only five deaths?
Only five.
Where's number six? Like, is that what
I was
supposed
like,
to do?
Sobbing. I wasn't not concerned with where we were in the family tree. Like, that was not.
No. 100% no. This feels like something that she was like.
Wait, because when Max talks about his family, he does not ever say he has a surviving family member.
No.
When he's talking to T'Shana.
I don't think he does.
Definitely not. And he's like, they're all gone. They're all gone. Like,
yeah. I feel like it's like his family where he's put it all, I don't acknowledge anything because I'm.
But I think that's a little bit that's a tricky, tricky little plot hole.
It's like
right
a heavenly.
There. It's a very heavenly fire, but kind of like a very convenient thing to be like, oh, by the way, this brother that was never mentioned before, he's still
and
alive.
And this is the brother also that like ran him through the drills and was like teaching him all the stuff, which like that then provides us so much opportunity. He mentions this brother a lot, like provides us so much opportunity for just a throwaway, like, wonder where he is now.
No. He thought wistfully.
While gazing off into the distance.
While snipping a rosebud.
Of my brother. I had this flashback of said brother, like, running me through drills. I'm like, how old was I when I asked him? Like, maybe I could ask him myself one day if he ever spoke to me again. Like,
yeah.
Something. Okay. Anyways, all right. So, bro's alive.
That's the takeaway. Yeah.
He's definitely coming back in some way, or like we would have brought it up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I hope it's a love. I need Mac to have some sort of family bond.
Agreed.
I need it.
Okay. What's the other big thing that?
The other thing is that Xerath has tied Tassana's life to his own. So if he dies, she dies.
Oh. So he basically tells them this and he's like, yeah, so if you try to kill me, Tassana will die. And everyone's like, what the fuck? And then he says, if you step a single hair out of line, if you undermine me, if you so much as look at me in a way I disapprove of, I will make these next 5 years the worst ones of Tassana's life. And I do know the scale of all that implies, considering her past.
Garbage trash whore.
I can't wait for him to die, and I want it to be dragged out.
Yeah.
want it to be torture. Like, if he dies a quick death, I'm not going to be happy about it. Because to use her past again, like, that is the most disgusting
especially
thing
I've ever when heard you of. Know about her past because you left her there. You know how bad it was because you were present and left her there.
It's partly your disgusting. Fault that this even happened to her in the first place. You disgusting piece of shit.
Pig.
I hate
He's
him.
Pig.
Glad we got that out.
We have a lot of feelings.
We do.
So now Max, he's used that basically as like leverage over Max to be like, Max, you're going to be captain in general or general of the army. And Max is like, okay, well, you've tied my hands because you've got the girl I love. So will do.
And then there's a lot of the like, if you can do it, I can do it moments. And there's a moment where he says, if you can do it, I can do it. His hand lifted to brush my cheek. Then he said more softly, I don't care what we're walking into. You're not going to do it alone.
I love him.
Oh, and then freaking Brashe in her head. He is right. You are never alone. Scary demon.
I laughed at that part, actually. I was like,
you are never alone.
You're never alone.
But yeah, so that's
so creepy. So they go off. So Tassana and Max are like, you know, obviously distraught that they have to go fight this war. I honestly am like, what did you think you signed up for, Tassana?
Yeah,
I mean, it sucks. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but girlfriend, you signed a blood pact.
We knew this was.
It's a weapon. Like, they told you it's a weapon. There was no if, ands, or but.
A weapon.
Yeah. She's like, what? A war?
What? A war?
Me?
Bloodshed?
No. Me? Fight? Like, a war?
Yes, that's why we're here.
Nora's like, open your eyes. Look alive, people.
I've been telling you this.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean,
Nora's got like a million, like, you know, things on the burner, and she's like, guys, I really need you to keep up.
She's like,
you're setting my timeline
back. Can you guys pay attention to the daily briefings I send you? Because this is really, you gotta
just do what I say.
Keep the study guide.
So there's a line though so Max is like, you know, kind of questioning Tassana and like, is this worth it? Do you really think this is worth it? Because they're talking about all the refugees and everybody that she's wants to go back and rescue. And she says, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it isn't happening. And they are just as loved, just as important. It is a privilege to do nothing, Max. So many people do not have that gift.
Oh, I love that line.
And I loved that line.
I love that line.
I just feel like it's so applicable to so many different things in life. Just like,
it's
you know,
a privilege to do nothing. Like, this is...
Yeah. And she's like, and I have the ability to do something. And yes, it's terrible what I've got to do. But I know that I can make it better for thousands of other people if I do this. I mean, you know, one could argue that like doing a bad deed here is not... help the other good deed here, but you know, she's like, this is what I was given. I didn't have any other options.
Well, and this kind of ties into, they have a really interesting conversation later about privilege too, about Max when they're at his manor, castle, whatever, mm-hmm. and talking about her upbringing compared and like how he is dealing with this privilege of his family and how he's like, I wish I could give you this privilege, this like, this stuff. I wish I was the person who could still have this to give it to you. And she was like, I wouldn't have been welcome here in this world.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I would have wanted it. And then he thinks about like how they would have treated her and all the people that like they stepped on to get where they were. And it's just like very interesting, him grappling with the privilege stuff in this
book. I was not expecting that, but I really liked that.
Me too.
Like, I didn't even think about that. But when she brings it up, I was like, that's such a good point. Mm-hmm. Like, they would not have welcomed her into their home.
No.
Like, if they met
their paths crossed because of everything that's happened.
So actually what she says is, he says, all of this ridiculous excess, I could have given all of that to you. I wish I could give all of that to you. And she just says, you could have tried, but the world would not have wanted me, Max. And perhaps I would not have wanted it either. And then he goes on, he's like, and maybe Tisana was too damned good for all of it anyway. And he's like, I have loved my family. I've loved my childhood. But now I turned around and looked at this beautiful house and the thought of how it was built from the riches of career warfare. For the Farleones, it was simply what we did, a game to gain honor and money and respect from other people like us. But Tisana knew what it was to be one of the pieces on the board.
Yeah. I love this follow-up she has at the very end of that chapter, that part. She says, you told me once that the world would be simpler if people were all one thing, but we will never live in a world that easy. Your family is a part of you. Of course you will love them. Of course you will miss them. And of course you will want to make a better world than they did. You will build upon what they gave you. You will draw from their strengths and confront their mistakes. You will make something better because that is what you do. You dream, Max, and I love that in you.
That quote is so gorgeous. I highlighted that. So perfect. And what a beautiful way of explaining that to him and telling him it's okay to feel these feelings.
It's okay.
It's okay to, this is exactly what you want to hear. And of course it's what he would want and need to hear, you know, because it's such a hard thing in grief to be like, it's very easy in grief to glorify someone because it's very hard to deal with anything they have done wrong or any ill will or ill feelings after someone's gone. So it's much easier to glorify. And it's especially for him in this scenario when he is dealing with so much grief around it already. And so, like we were saying, the tool of him being there, physically having to deal with all of this, like, he's having to look at pictures on the wall and, like, look at bedrooms and, you know,
awful.
But if Tisana wasn't there to have this juxtaposition, he would probably never even see that excess and the privilege and all those things, because he wouldn't have had someone to make him think about it.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak, you know, Christina. Like, I felt like his grief was handled so well.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
how he talks about it. And, like, right before their conversation, he says, for so long, my grief had overshadowed their lives. Mm-hmm. An insurmountable wall between the present and any happiness that had once lived in the past. For the first time in a long, long time, I found myself peering over it.
Oh, gorgeous.
I just love that because it was such a beautiful way to talk about
that imagery.
Yeah, of him finally being able to, like, I can look over this wall and I can see, like, a way ahead, like a path ahead.
No, it's so well done. And especially, I think, the use of the house, too. Like, you know, I cannot even drive on the highway that goes to my childhood home when I come to Fort Worth. Like, I am just like, it is a very specific thing that I just cannot deal with. So I like a lot of this imagery of the space and being in the space and that having to grapple with that, like, really, really resonated with me. And I think she did it really beautifully.
Okay, good.
Carissa has such a gift with that, because I feel like even in, and I won't give a spoiler, but like, I feel like in Serpent, she does grief very well in that book as well.
Oh. The dreams and stuff in that was really beautiful.
Yeah,
too.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
It feels like she's experienced something firsthand because I feel like she really has a good handle on it. Better than a lot of other books.
I totally agree. And especially in a fantasy, you know, like, she takes these like real grounded emotions and things that happen and puts them in this world. And it's really cool.
And it sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not over. There's not a whole, like, come to Jesus talk about grief.
No,
it's very subtle.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, we're talking about it now, and we never texted about it though while we were reading. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like organic. Like the more we talk about it, the more we're like, wow, it really
beautiful
kind of hits you.
Well, it's so like natural and it's so like mm-hmm. realistic. Mm-hmm. They felt very real to me. Like I just have to read this for the, it's right before what Anna
yes.
just said, but he said, "I don't know how to reconcile it. I said the bad with the good, the things that I loved with the things that I hate. And there is so fucking much that I hate now about what we were. So many things that I didn't see back then, but despite it, I had to stop abruptly because I couldn't say the words without breaking. I still miss them so, so much."
Oh,
and then that's when Tasana says, you know, like everything that Anna just said. And it's like, it was such a unexpected aspect of this book that didn't overwhelm the plot. And it wasn't like this big dramatic thing, but it was just so well done.
With care. Respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Because it did. It felt like very gentle, like
gentle. That's another very good word gentle. For it. Yeah.
I just love how they know what to say to each other and they're exactly what each other needs. And like they just find so much comfort in each other that it's very comforting to read for me as the reader. It was when they got back together at the end of part two, I was like, oh, thank God, because like I missed them together.
And so smart that we got them to this place by the end of book one. Because if we were still like even a little bit less committed or less like had our footing with them as a couple, I think a lot of this book would have been more stressful. Like they kind of felt like a solid like place to come back to.
Unit.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried about them having some sort of like miscommunication.
Exactly.
No, because I think the first book did such a good job of building a solid friendship foundation.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That naturally evolved into a romance. This was not love at first sight.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds, like we've said before, it reminds us so much of Air of Fire, minus
so
the assholeness. But like it really, you have this solid foundation of like trust, respect, and friendship.
Yeah.
And I'm there for you and you're there for me and we have each other's backs.
I love it.
And then all of a sudden it takes the next step at the end of book one and you know it's coming, right?
Right.
Like, you know. But then when we get into book two and they have to separate, I wasn't like nervous about them.
No. As a couple, exactly.
I wanted them back together because I missed their banter.
Same.
But I wasn't like concerned.
No. It's the perfect example, I think, of a slow burn, because if you would tell me going into a book, a lot of this book, they're not like romantic yet. I'm like, maybe it's not for me. Like I need the romance.
Same.
And so this to me was so effectively done that like, this is what a slow burn is. A slow burn can't be out of complete nowhere. We are romantic. It has to be little moments, like little kindling and then little flicks.
Yeah.
And then
the
we
necklace.
Go and then the necklace,
taking her dress off.
And the things and the flirting and
the
things. And then we get there.
The pond. Like,
this was a great progression to where we are here.
It felt very like well-earned and...
Well-earned, yes.
Yeah.
We earned it.
We deserve this.
Man, we put in the work. Literary geniuses, we earned it. Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Max heads off to battle. Tasana's left at the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Max takes the... So Max's job is basically to go and overthrow or gain all of the people who are enemies of Xerath and like gain the supports of all these lords who have... decided they're, you know, siding with Atrix or whatever, queens. Yeah. And then Tasana is going to be like on the home front with Xerath. So they separate.
Uh-huh.
Now, from here on out for this episode, just because there's so many, there's three different POVs and it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
We're going to just break it up by like Max's POV, Tasana's POV, and our new character, Aoife.
New POV alert! New POV new alert! POV.
alert!
I wanted to text you guys and be like, because I got to it first, but then I was like, no, that's a spoiler. Let them get to it. And I was like, who is this? What are we doing?
I was so far behind. And Anna texts at some point, like, Aoife's chapters are some of my favorite. And I literally almost texted back, like, is that, did
you mean?
What is this word? Who is this? Who this be?
What is this word?
I was like, what is this word? I literally was like, she must have somehow...
Maybe you had gotten like a few chapters in by that point, so before you paused, and so I was like, I just didn't even think. I just was like,
honestly, I was like, I'm a little behind, and was like highly underplaying it. I was very far behind, so like it's really okay. Okay,
So let's start with Tasana.
Tasana,
I feel like her and Riche after the end of last book. Do you feel like her and Riche have a different understanding? Like, I feel like there was less of Riche being, you're mine. I'm controlling you. And there was more of like probing questions, kind of like, like you'd see a lot more images of Riche. I mean, we'll get, we're going to get into our theories later, but like all these images that Tasana, and Tasana would push back a question of like, who is that? And Riche would be like, I don't know, but I feel like somebody's looking for me and I don't want to be found. And
a lot of hands reaching and searching.
A lot of white.
Oh, a lot of so white. Much white.
I think so much white.
I think it was that, like, their relationship kind of getting a little, I don't know, cozier. But yeah, also,
it felt cozier.
I think that it read to me also that Tasana figured out how to effectively deal with her and how to effectively, like, the way she kind of manipulates the men in her life besides Max.
Totally.
Like, she kind of figured out her tells and how she needs to deal with Riche.
Yeah.
That's very true, Christina.
She's mediated the situation, and I feel like she's done a really good job with it.
I felt like this was much more palatable for me to read. Like, it wasn't so, like, Riche just wasn't so angry and, like, intense and, like, evil.
It was less almost like this is this demon possessing her.
Yeah.
And more like I'm open to it being a being that is not, like, full evil. Where, like, in book one, I was like, this is a demon of hell just possessing her. And this is like, oh, like, maybe she had a life and a history, and I'm not in every scenario waiting for her to explode into terribleness.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple of things that happened, though, with Tasana that were, I think, important. So Nura apparently also has, like, a blood pact with Xerath.
That was interesting. Yes.
Which is interesting. But I love how she's like sneakily gives keywords to, so Tasana's like, so you can't act against him, like meaning Xerath. And Nura like corrects her and she says, I certainly can't kill him. Yeah. But he doesn't say that she can't work against him. And Tasana literally goes, noted.
Yeah. Noted.
Check. Got it.
Well, check. There was another moment when Nura makes a point to be like, Max, did you agree to lead? And he was like, yeah. Kind of like, why are you asking? And she literally was like, good. That's good. Like, that'll be good. Like, made a point. And he thinks that's really weird. He's like, why does she say that? What does that mean?
Why does she care?
I think she has all the pieces on the board, the little puppet strings, and she's like playing all the little thing
her games. Brain.
Yep.
Well, because remember, there's a whole thing with her where she's like, she tried to get Riche in her. She was like, she worked so hard to try to get Riche to like let her control her.
Oh, and then, I know.
Well, and Riche even shows Tasana those memories of like her multiple times, like giving her blood, trying to take Riche. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what her motive is. I can't figure it out.
And then she says, this is Riche talking. Riche in Tasana.
Yes.
You did not truly want me because I would have seen everything in you. Nira's face went hard. Her eyes glinted in the darkness like two shards of metal. We are not done with each other yet, Riche. We can fester in our hatred and let it make us strong or stupid or both. And make no mistake, I do hate you. I hate you more than I've ever hated anything. But you and I know that there is something else coming and our paths are still tangled.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? I just have more questions.
Me too. Like,
is Nura, like, not human? Like, with the way she talks to Riche, like, we are still tangled, makes me think that they have a past.
Right.
So, well, and the fact that she's like, I hate you more than anyone. I hate you.
And that made me think of two very specific things when I read that line. One was she hates Riche because of what Riche did to Max's family. And Max was, like, her family. I mean, she got, like, the family heirloom necklace. The other thing I thought was, that is there something deeper there that they know about each other?
I didn't read that as, so Riche has taken over Tasana and is talking to Nura. It's Riche and Nura. Mm-hmm. And Riche is saying she hates you too, as in Tasana hates Nura. That's how I read that.
Yeah. Because she says,
okay, hates you too. She hates you almost as much as I do. And Nura says, I would expect nothing less.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
And that's when Nura says, why did you choose her when you rejected so many others? And then Riche says, you envy her. And she's like,
right.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. And
I don't care.
I don't care.
And then she's like, and where I have lived in that mind of yours, do you think that you would lock me in your palace of ice and steel like everything else you fear?
Ooh. What do you fear, Nura?
All very interesting.
Yeah, like, I can't figure Nura out. And, like, even, I mean, this is obviously on purpose because, like, she'll have, like, a tender moment, like, with the sickness later.
Vomiting.
That. And then, like, in the next chapter, she's like, well, fucking cut her head off. Let's do this. Like, at least she's here. And I'm like, Nura, why are you like this?
Like, a little sensitivity.
It's freaking Nesta all over again. I'm like, stop that. Stop it. I know you're better than that. Stop it.
Nura and Nesta, we see the glimpses. Just be the person we want you to be.
Just be. Be. Oh,
okay.
I love that. Yes.
So, okay, wait. Back to T'Sana. So, okay. T'Sana does have to go to battle. She has to go do the battle things. But she makes it into more of like a show.
She does what she does best. She does a performance. Yep. She's like, give the people what they want.
So at some point before this, she's like, what do you want? What do you want? It's like the notebook.
It's the notebook. It's the notebook all over again.
And Richey says, I want a story. Like, I want a story that proves something existed, that I wasn't just like nothing. Mm-hmm. So then when Richey is getting all bloodthirsty in the battle, you know, T'Sana's like, how can I curb the blood loss? Like, how can I?
It's so smart.
Yes, it's so smart. How can I be scary? And then she tells, I'm going to give you what you want. Let's give them a story.
Yeah.
And Richey like pauses. And this goes back to what you said, Christina. It's like, she's learned how to talk to Richey.
She knows how to handle her. Yes.
And Richey's kind of like, okay.
Because at first she's like, no. And then she does something crazy. And she's like, look how they're looking at us. Look how they're looking at us.
Yeah.
They're looking at us like we're a god.
It's
and
so good.
And then she's like, ooh, I want to be looked at like I'm a god.
That's different than Max. Mm-hmm. Because what Max did was he just destroyed everything. Not on purpose, mm-hmm. obviously. And Max says, this is going to be different. Like, we're going to find a way so that it's different than what happened to me. Mm-hmm. And T'Sana has found that way. She's found a way to, like, work with the demon and living in her body. And to, like, okay, I don't like you in here, but, well, let's work together.
How can
we
do this?
Yeah, how can we do this?
Okay, wait, right before she goes into this first battle, I just like, girl, Carissa's writing. I know we've said it 1,000 times, and I'll just keep saying it. She said, Richey was in my bones. Xerath was at my throat. Magic was at my fingertips. Magic that did nothing but kill. And the lives of 1,000 slaves were at my shoulders.
Oh,
you guys.
That's so well put.
Beautiful. Like, so well shut up. Put. That is incredible.
I love that.
I am just very blown away by her writing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why she's not more popular than she is, because she deserves it. I mean, she is like blown up this year, which like,
absolutely.
So thrilled for her. But like, more.
I know, but it's like, she it really more. Is. She writes beautifully. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I think the only other big thing that like really happens that we learn about, which maybe this is foreshadowing for somebody, is the magic sickness that takes over at Elsin, who had been helping, you know, using the vials or whatever that Xerath was giving her to heighten her power. And she's a Cirizen. And Eslin dies. And it was really sweet to see Samarin. I mean, we don't need to get into it, but like, I clearly him and Eslin had a past.
Oh, I was like, is he in love with her? Is Sam in love with this girl?
I thought so. Yeah, I thought so.
He like was just staring at her and wouldn't eat. And I was like, Sam.
And he remembers her eyes.
Oh, yeah.
He said she had the most beautiful eyes and she was a painter. Oh, God. Anyways. Samarin. Okay. So the other, there's just one little tidbit, which brings us back to Hummingbird. So Nura says that she has only known one person to survive the sickness.
Yes.
And she, female, she says, and she was never the same again. And I immediately was like, Hummingbird girl.
Okay, wait, though.
And that's why she would go to Max's. They're like, oh, just set her free in the countryside. Just set her free. And she just bops around.
She's a hummingbird. Let her fly around the flowers.
But I feel like Nura says, like, you wouldn't want her to survive. And, like, Hummingbird girl seems, like, mostly fine.
She seems jovial.
Like, she's not...
Yeah.
She does seem jovial.
Her quote is, she was never the same. She goes, you wouldn't want to survive.
Right, you wouldn't want to survive. No one would want to. So, like, Hummingbird girl, like, I wouldn't hate that life. Like, she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but she seems, like, fairly happy.
Well, I mean, but it could be, like, you know, if you're used to having your mind.
valid point.
I do have my mind, so that is true.
She probably doesn't realize her mind is mush. But,
true.
Right.
You know what? I don't hate that theory. That is a very interesting theory.
I like it a lot.
Guys, if we never find out if this girl is a hummingbird or not, I will DM Carissa until she answers me.
Yeah, Carissa, you need to answer this.
If this never comes back, I swear to God.
I will not rest until I have my answer.
This is the great hummingbird debate of 2023.
It is, truly. Okay, wait.
One last thing before we move on about the magic sickness that I forgot to put in the outline. So, T'Sana notes that, like, the sickness seems to be, like, eating away at, like, the inside out.
Of Xerath or of Eslin?
Of Eslin.
Mm. Okay,
like, because remember how she can, like, hear her mind, kind of?
That was so crazy.
Yes. So she says that it seems like it's eating her from the inside out, like, her organs and everything. So we haven't gotten to Aoife's POV. We're about to be at Aoife's POV. But the freaking House of Reeds, when Cadwan cuts open that body, and autopsies it.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It's eaten alive from the inside.
Shut.
That's exactly what that is.
And she says, doesn't she say Eslin's face starts to like warp at the end?
Yes. Wow. How interesting. How interesting.
Oh, shut. Yeah. So, my mind is blown right now.
So that means.
Kim, you're so funny.
Okay. Let's pause on this. Everyone just put a pin in it because let's talk about this in theories. Boop.
Pin it.
Pin it. But it's important, I think, in Tassana's POV to touch briefly upon the refugees and the fact that they are getting sent letters saying like, hey guys, Tassana. It's like, hey guys. They're friends. And they're like,
what it do, baby boo?
What up? I just wanted to check in and let you know that they're going to kill us if you guys don't produce Tassana. Mm-hmm. Therefore, then when Eslin dies, she's like, I have this idea, but it sucks. I don't want to ask you to do
it. Oh, yeah, that was.
And then Sam is like, you don't have to say it. I understand. I can do it. Mm-hmm. And we like transfix her into looking like Tiss. Which, uh-huh. The way that was written was very interesting with Sam's magic, like actually changing her to look like so Tassana. Was really interesting. But yeah, so they send her body because everyone's got it up for Tassana. Can people just let her live?
I'm like, you guys, she's doing her best.
Dude, she's like, trying her best.
Like, you need to stop.
She is working very hard for people, okay? Yeah.
And if you were going to be so iffy about trusting her, then don't get on the fucking boat in the first place. Stay there. Yeah. Like, my God.
Stay there with freaking Phileas, jerk face. What's he doing for you? Nothing.
Nothing. Him and Voss are just bitching all day. Yeah. My God.
God. When Voss shows up with his out his nose, I was like, dude.
I was like, shut up. Out. Go away.
She saved thousands of people. It sucks that you lost your nose. I get it. It sucks.
I'm really sorry. I'm sure you'd love to smell.
But listen, however, get over it.
I need you to step it up and get the fuck over it. She is doing the best she can.
Also, like, guys, where is Cyril? It's technically pronounced Sorrel, but I don't like that.
But yeah, I know, where is he? He, like, I was so excited to have him, and we have, like, a little cute, funny moment in the beginning of the book, and then it's like, he's gone.
Where is he?
I mean, we have the second half. Maybe he'll show up.
Did they address why he's not living and, like, not with her? He's living in the refugee?
Why is he not staying at the house? Like, it's her best friend.
There's, like, a million rooms.
He's living in a worn down shanty.
She's like, I helped him move into his apartment with the broken windows.
He's like, oh, let me put my four books on this in the piece corner. Of wood in the corner and call it a bookshelf. Like,
why didn't you let him share your room with you?
She's in an actual mansion.
Did they address this?
I think it's just understood that he would want to stay with him, but I can't fathom why. Like, why?
But like, I just fought a war. I turned into some fiery blue creature to save your ass, and you can't come be my roomie?
Come have a sleepover with me, damn it. Like,
God, you'd rather hang out with Boss and his no-nos? What's he giving you?
Who would rather hang out with Boss? He's so negative. I don't have any kind of time for that.
Oh, Lord.
No time for Voldemort.
No time for Voldemort.
Okay, truly. So let's move on.
Okay, so let's move on to the Fey worlds.
I loved this, y'all.
Loved it.
This was such a fun new intro to this.
I mean, we all called it in the last episode. When she's like, the Fae are extinct, and we're like, are they? Are they?
So they're not. So they're actually so they're definitely not.
Okay. When you bring up an extinct creature more than like 10 times in a book.
Not extinct.
I will say, I'm a little confused on the timeline here. I'm not sure if this is the past.
Yes. No, we don't know.
At first I thought it was the past, and I'm not so sure anymore.
I'm not sure as well.
I have no clue.
Okay. So I'm not going to go through all the houses, but like the three main
ones. But quickly, quick world building.
Quick world building. The three main ones, House of Obsidian, which is what Aoife is a part of, and Siobhan. And then you've got House of Stone, or the Stone-Held Fae, which is what Caduan is. And then you've got House of Wayward Winds, which sounds like passing gas. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Don't love it.
I didn't even think about that.
House of Wayward Winds, which is the bird fae.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're not even like angel feathered things.
They're like birds.
They're legit birds.
They mention other houses, but like
those aren't important. We'll get to them when we get to them.
I don't know what they are.
So Aoife, I loved the first, like, once upon a time I was a princess, but that was a long time ago and I've been hitting the ground ever since.
Wow.
She just writes these, like,
I know. It's gorgeous. Incredible.
It's great.
So, all right. So Aoife's a princess, But
Tyrannus.
This, so which is sorry.
The same thing.
Tyrannus. The same thing as a princess.
Same thing as a princess.
But she has this thing where she can take magic.
She's been, quote, rejected by the gods, and her blood is, quote, tainted.
Her dad's solution to this is to strangle her in her sleep.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't actually kill her.
I think he was going to, but she says she remembers a light coming in through the door.
Oh.
So when she's telling Caduan the story,
yeah,
she remembers waking up and saying, please, 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 like begging when her dad was strangling her. And then a light comes in through the door and she goes, and I don't know if that was, if I made that up or if it was real. But then she talks about it again and she thinks she remembers seeing her mom's face.
Oh, maybe that's why her mom's crazy.
Her mom is like oddly comatose. And also it's a very, there's a specific line that says that the Tyrannus is passed from the mother to the daughter.
Right. Yeah. Caduan tells her that.
Why is her dad in charge?
I don't know.
And her mother wasn't always like this. Her mother wasn't always crazy.
No.
I feel like maybe her dad did something and like was messing around with ritualistic magic and somehow made Aoife not normal.
So when she's little, this happens, and then the father does not kill her, but instead is like, your other sister's gonna be Tyrannus and you're gonna go be a blade.
Yeah. So she goes to become like a soldier, and Siobhan is like, we'll just call her like her teacher or whatever, her commander.
Yes.
Her commander. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So basically we meet Aoife, she's with Siobhan, and all of a sudden they hear like a distress call, and it's Caduan, who's a stone house from the House of Stone, and there's like 15 dying fae with him, and they've been attacked, he says, by humans, which is like, what, humans in the fae lands? So they like seek refuge, they are healing him, and they decide to call like, I called it like a High Lord's meeting. The father like calls all of the heads of the houses, like a summit.
Yes.
And he's like, we're going to do a Fellowship of the Ring and we're going to send our leaders on an adventure. And
that's exactly what it is.
Yes. We're going to go explore and we're going to go seek out the other houses and see if they have any information on these humans who have magic.
And it's a big deal that he sends Aoife because
it's a big deal that he entrusts Aoife, which I'm like, I don't trust you, dude. But anyways, so he sends Aoife with Siobhan. So it's two, those are the two from the House of Obsidian. And then there's from the House of Wayward Winds, the Bird Fae, there's Ishka. And then there's another dude who it begins with the letter A. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Caduan is like, no, I want to go too because like my people were slaughtered and there's only 15 of us left.
Oh, also Caduan's now king because they killed everybody.
Yeah.
He was 13th in line.
13th in line.
But they killed everybody up to him. So now he's king.
It's like Prince Harry's dream right here. He's like, yep, take them all out.
Take them all out. They go off on their little journey. Mm-hmm. So the first big thing that happens is they go to the House of Reeds, which is the first stop that they are like, okay, well, let's go here. You know, we can try and maybe they know something about the humans. Well, they get there and it's like silent. There's nobody
but,
there.
Like, too silent. Like they can like hear nothing.
Yeah, it's too silent. So they go and explore, and that's where we have like Gollum the Grudge shows up.
It is Gollum and the Grudge. Like,
it is like, it is, if Gollum and Grudge had offspring, that is what this creepy as fuck woman is.
I hate it.
So then all of the bodies come up from the water.
Harry Potter moment also.
Harry Potter moment. And shit hits the fan.
Aren't they saying like, don't take them or something weird?
Yeah, she's saying, screaming, don't take them.
Which what? To me was
take
very
what?
Confusing.
Woman?
Do you think she's talking about, like, her family? Like, that they took her family?
But it seemed like she was just totally gone at that point. Like, it was, like, so...
Her brain
almost like something possessing her was saying, don't take them. Like, not... Like, it felt weird. Like, it was, like, off.
So, remember, after the big treehouse battle, they say, like, it looks like they're looking for something specific.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, I wonder if them is... It could be fae, a specific type of fae. Mm. It could be items, multiple items, because them is plural, right? It says, she says, don't take them. That's what
don't
she
take
says.
Them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Okay. So then we also find out what Aoife's quote curse is, which is, I don't understand this.
Such a non-issue. I don't understand the hullabaloo around this. Like,
she can just borrow people's magic.
She steals magic by biting people. Okay.
Yeah. And it also doesn't seem to hurt anybody, at least that we're aware of yet. Like, each time she's borrowed magic, it's not like she's taken it. It doesn't seem like that weakens the other person.
No.
If anything, Cadwan gets way stronger.
So, yeah, okay. That was weird. But here's my thing. It's so rare and people just kill them, right? So no one really knows. I think that people are so scared of it.
Yes.
That they don't actually know that it's not. Like, people are like, oh, that's going to take our magic. Like, I don't think people really know that it's not that
big. Yeah, I just felt like it was built up a lot. And then when it came out, I was like, and she was still like, this is it. This is my dirty secret. And I was like,
this is my dirty secret.
Okay. I don't.
Well, maybe that's what they're searching for.
Wait, but that would be really helpful. Maybe but that would tie in all these things, right?
Because she can steal magic from all the different types of people and blend it.
She could use all of them and blend it and not channel too deep. She could just do it.
Do it.
Oh my God. We're geniuses.
We've got, okay, so I think the other big thing, like, you know, Cadwan and Aoife are having like sweet moments sparring together. I'm here for their possible relationship.
I loved it.
Because they're Fae, I'm just like eating up. I'm like, oh, he held her hand. It was a steadying connection, mates. Their power has never felt more different when they combine them. Mates. I was...
she goes, there's an odd familiarity to the power. Mates.
Like, anytime anyone's so Fae and has any sort of romantic thing, I'm like, mates.
Mates.
Okay, but yeah, but it is cute. And they're building each other up and sparring and training and, like, being a little cutie.
And he's challenging her and, like, challenging the status quo and being like, just because, like, your dad says we can't do this, like, who cares what he says?
And
I'm like,
and he calls her Tyrannus, and she's like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are. It's so good. I love it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. I love it.
So the other, like, the last big thing that happens with Aoife is they're at the Treehouse City. And she's waiting to hear back from her father because she's asked if they can go to the exiled lands. And the exiled lands are where Fae and humans have, like, intermingled and, like, married and whatever. And that's a big no-no in the Fae because, like, they're purebreds, whatever. Bullshit. So anyways.
All right, Malfoy.
So her father says, no, you can't go because they're exiled. And she's like, okay, well, I have to follow my father's rules. Like, he's the Tyrannus master king person. Tyrannus.
This was written well that she was like, oh no, I'm just looking for his approval and like I want him to love me and like all these things. But also I was like, girl, wake the fuck up.
Well, Cadwan says that. Cadwan's like, this is bullshit. Uh-huh. And then there's an explosion.
And then all hell breaks loose.
Cadwan is like gravely injured and she bites him to take his power and then she basically like commands him to come back. She's like, wake up. Nope, I command you.
Which is mates-ish to me, but, you know, just me. Just saying. Keep
she
going.
Pulls on that tether.
Pulls on that tug.
Oh, Christina,
so then there's a big battle, and they actually see the humans for the first time.
This is wild.
She gets stabbed, like, skewered. Like a barbecue.
Guys,
there's a hole in her abdomen. No,
and something's happening to Cadwan, who also is flinging, like, vines and trees and flowers and, like, things.
The guy was like, flowers were coming out of his eyeballs.
And and all this is happening, and then there's literally a line where she has to take herself off the pole. Keeping her to the wall. Because she was like, literally like slide her body out off the pole.
The other end.
I was in this moment, I almost text you and I'd be like, could you ask Ben, Dr. Ben, how this would realistically
go
down?
We need a Dr. Ben segment on this.
You would bleed out. Your internal organs, there's no, a spear.
All the way through. You are attached to
the
wall.
That would sever your spine.
Here's what I gotta ask Ben. Is there a spot on your body that you could be attached to a wall through, all the way through,
like a
pig on a spigot?
Because you hit it just right where it's not the spine and it's not a major organ.
And that, no, but not even that you could survive it going all the way through. That you could survive shimmying your way off of it.
Because that's the part that would kill you.
I hate it.
Going onward to battle.
The number one rule is, like, when you're stabbed, you don't pull out the knife.
Right.
Yeah.
But she, what was she going to do? Just hang there?
But she was skewered. She was skewered. You're like, you know what? I'm gonna unskewer myself.
I'm gonna unskewer myself. Shimmy. Never.
The way she describes it, I can't remember what it was. It was like she had
no. No, I don't want to.
She like kept taking breaths and she's like, push.
Oh. Yeah, there was a pushing. I can't.
No, I would have died so long ago. I just truly, so long ago.
Okay.
Well, I guess, guys, listeners, we will ask Dr. Ben and we'll post it somewhere. We'll report back.
Anna's husband is going to let us know.
He's going to love this.
So she, like, they somehow escape the the humans. But then she says, basically, like, we're going to the Feylands.
Fuck my dad.
She says, I am the Tyrannus, and if I say, like, what I say goes.
Yeah.
So they're going to go talk to the exile people and figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Okay.
So Max.
Yes. So there's a lot of battles with Max. We get a lot of battles.
Uh-huh.
The only main thing I want to talk about with the battles is that Sweet Moth is there with him.
Oh,
and that he, like, so... And, like, so they go out, and it's this moment where him and Sam see Moth, and Moth is like, hey, guys, like, I enlisted just like you. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing
they're
here?
They're so mad.
And they're so mad at him.
I feel bad for Moth. Me He's too. So, Max is, like, pissed. And I get, you know, when he explains his anger and he apologizes later, he's like, this is where it was coming from. And I get it. But it's also like, dude, he's like 13.
But then he keeps Moth with him and he like keeps him out of battle. Yeah. And there's all this like sweet moments with Moth that I really appreciated that he was a part of this. It kind of like brought like a different... If he wasn't there and it was just like battle.
No, he was a good kind of like foil for...
Yes. A little
yeah.
like...
Yeah.
Oh, and then they have cutie letters, him and T'Shaan.
Oh, I love the letters. Yeah. I love it.
It's so sweet.
He writes in love. It's so cute.
I love how much they love each other's letters. Yes. Like, I love that there was no like, what does he mean by that? And why didn't he write me more? And why didn't... Like, there was none of that. Like, they loved everything they got from each other. They like,
always say like, stay safe.
Yeah. And then it was like, stay safe, period. Please. Period.
So there's the battle at the inn where they get sneakily attacked at night or something, and his soldiers, Moth, thank God Moth was not upstairs because Moth would have died.
Yeah.
And they get like basically like stabbed in their sleep, which is very poor form. Very poor form.
Yeah, come on.
Very rude.
Very rude is what it is.
Come on.
But Moth has his first kill, which was really traumatizing for him. And he saves Max. Like, you know, it's not like he just goes into battle. Like, it's in a room, it's messy, and Moth is kind of goes into shock. And then later, they are summoned, they get the notice that they're supposed to go back to Max's, you know, family home. And he goes to find Moth, and Moth is kind of off by himself. And Moth is like, you know, I don't want them to see me. He's crying. He's like, I don't want the other soldiers to see me like this. And, Max has the sweetest
line. Oh, I love this
line.
All of it is so beautiful.
This is so beautiful. He says, hold on to this, onto what you're feeling right now for as long as you can. Hold on to your humanity. And if anyone tells you to be ashamed of it, if anyone tells you that it's weakness that you know the value of human life, then they are fucking lost, Moth. They are lost. And so many are.
I love this so much. I loved it.
And he's this is also a warring moment for him too, where he's like, my dad and all these people would tell me like the glory of battle and all these moments and these things. And I'm here in this moment wishing that I had someone tell
that
me
someone
this.
Had, that you someone know? Had told me that it's okay.
So well done.
Yeah.
I love seeing them together. I think that it's really nice for Max to have that.
Yeah. And then he has the last line of his POV before him and T'Shaan reunite.
Oh, yep.
Moth says, I'm glad we're going home. And then this is in Max's inner monologue. But he goes, home. The word caught and settled deep in my chest. But home wasn't Corvius or the towers or even a cottage in the middle of nowhere surrounded by flowers. Home was a pair of mismatched eyes, an accented voice, and a heartbeat that followed the same cadence as mine. And I was so, so homesick. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
That man.
Stop it.
So homesick. I'm obsessed.
My heart. God, it's so, so good.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, so then he does go back.
He does go back.
Yay,
and they're reunited.
It's so good.
Oh, guys, this was such a relief. I was like, thank God they're back together. I
me
missed
too.
And them.
This was one of the moments that I was like, Aoife, I love you, but come on. Like, literally, it was like the end of that chapter. And he's like talking to fucking Xerath. I'm like, I know you're there. Go see her. And then he's just like, he's like, I hesitated. Then Rose went to the door, whatever. Frankly, I didn't have it in me to argue. Not when there was someone I so desperately needed to see. And then the next chapter is Aoife. I was like, Aoife!
No, I know. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you would get
to this love
point.
You, but not now.
Not now, Aoife.
But then, okay. And then they do go. They do see. It's so sweet.
She and T'Shaan and Nura sparring. And then, like, he shows up. And, like, they look at each other. And she's like,
He goes, hello, you. And she goes, hello, you.
Hello, you.
It's so sweet.
That's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
She goes, hello, you. I could barely get the words out. Breathless from more than exertion. And the next line is just, Neera rolled her eyes.
I love it.
She's just like, God damn it.
Oh, so guys, good. I loved it. I loved everything about this reunion.
We get a little spice and it's like the right amount. And like,
guys, sent a text today that said, y'all, all caps, period. Max just said, quote, good girl in bed. I am dying dead deceased from this moment. I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know it was going to happen. And I was living for it. It was so good.
I didn't know that I needed that. And then I got it and I was like, oh, shit.
I needed it.
So good.
I needed it and it was good.
And it also like fit with him and his person. Like, it just all really worked very well.
He's such a little like, he's like a sneaky.
And he's like, Tasana, make that sound again.
Yes.
That's when he says, good girl.
Oh my God.
I was
very into it.
Died.
Very into it.
It's also they're seeing each other's like bruises and scars, and she's like, what happened here? Oh, yeah. And like kissing it. He's like, what happened here? And all this stuff. And then he's like, wait, what about you? And then he flips over and he's like, all this, like, what about this and this? He's going down lower and lower. And he goes, or this? And he goes, looks like you've been busy. And then she's like, as casual as I could manage, I had things to do. He's like, things, And then he's like, getting lower and lower and teeth are, you know, raising things and whatever. And then she just goes, I like to lead an exciting life. I choked out.
I die laughing.
And then he goes, right, part of your charm.
She's really funny. She's actually funny. It's so good. I like to lead an exciting life.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Really quick, sorry. I have something highlighted that I really need to read.
Yes, read it.
I know we'll get to it. It's about Neera. And she's talking to Tasana. And I think Tasana's saying, like, what is your deal, man? Like, what's going on with you? And they're having this conversation. And Neera says this, and it is so interesting. She said, maybe one day you'll stand where I do. You'll cut away every weakness. You'll make every sacrifice. And then the world will look at you and sneer at your inhumanity as if you didn't just become everything they told you to be.
Oh, I love that.
I love that so much. Me it made too. Me be like,
it reminds me of the quote on. She said about like men seek power.
Yes.
And the women just seek to like be able to make a decision.
Be able to like do stuff.
Yeah. Be able to like do things. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's very interesting. She's such a fascinating character. I'm really interested to see where we go.
Okay,
so the next big thing is we go to the prison.
We go to Azkaban.
No,
it is literally Azkaban.
So, it's Azkaban. Okay, I don't know what else it is.
It's both Azkaban and the Bone Carver. So, like, we got both things going on here. Yeah.
Right. We got both. Y'all, that place was creepy as fuck. I did not like being in there.
So scary.
That dude was cuckoo.
Oh my God.
For Cocoa Puffs.
And he was tearing his face
off. Gouging out his face.
That was rough. And like she tried to like go to like stop him and Max had to like yank her back.
He was very scary, but he said some very interesting things.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. So he gives some context into Riche, which Riche is terrified to be there. Tasana's like, is this your creator? And you know, Riche's like, haha, no, he is not.
Yeah.
And Vadir, the guy, says, creator, no, not creator, no. I simply helped harness it here in Ara. Who would have created such a thing? Perhaps the gods themselves made it to punish us. They do love to do that. Mm-hmm. So he harnessed it here. So, like, where did it come from?
Where did it come from?
And like, where'd you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Cotton Eye Riche. Where'd you come from?
Joe. But okay, so that's confusing though, because does that mean that there's like other iterations of Riche not in Ara?
Well, that's what I was wondering. When it goes back to my theory of like, is if they're seeking, if those humans in the Feylands are seeking something specific, are they seeking creatures that then become Riche?
Okay, that was
what I was wondering, or some sort of magic, like what Aoife can do, which is harness various types of magic.
Yeah.
The other big thing I had was that he realizes that Tasana, like I don't know how nobody else has realized this, that she is like successfully wielded Riche's magic, and that Riche's using Riche's magic is similar to the blood pact that Xerath did to like bind his life to Tasana, which is that it basically feeds off of other lives. So mm-hmm. every time she like killed in battle, it was making her stronger. Every time Max killed in battle when Rache was in him, it made him stronger mm-hmm. because the magic, it's blood magic basically, Rache. And it's mm-hmm. feeding off of that to make them both stronger. It's not necessarily that Rache needs it. It's that the way that the magic, the way I read it at least, way that they dug deep, that's how, becomes important later, right?
Yeah, and I think it's a specific thing to T'Sana and Max because she's like, so you're saying that our magic is blood magic? And he's like, yeah. Uh-huh. Which is like, yes. That's why they were testing their blood. That's like, you know, them.
Right, right.
But
yes.
Then he says, now tell me, have you tried combining your magics? Theoretically, yeah. If you both draw from the same level, you could, and then like, they stop. So I like, so is this gonna be a,
yeah, for sure.
Amplifier. 100%.
Which that's what happened with Aepha and Caduan uh-huh. when yes. they got stronger.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. mates.
But
mates.
Also, is it the deeper power?
Yes. Also the blood magic situation.
Yeah. Okay. So
One more thing in the prison. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
So he said, this is just very interesting. I don't know what they mean, but I just want to like rapid fire him out. So
yeah.
He pushes himself against the wall, eyes glued to T'Sana, and says, they're coming for us because of you. You yeah. is italicized. Okay. Interesting.
Who?
So then there's specific parts where they say to Max, you belong here to him.
Yes.
And
yes.
then the like guy won't let them out. And he says like, you belong here. What difference does a few weeks make? As in like, he's not going to let them out for a few weeks, but like, what does that mean?
I didn't understand that line at all. I got the whole thing where he's like, you escaped once because he yeah. escaped prison when he didn't end up getting, you know, charged for his crime.
Trial, right. Oh my God. Thinking about Max there.
Oh, oh Jesus. Oh. No.
But
the whole thing about
just
like
the whole thing.
What is the 2 weeks?
Few weeks felt weird. Yeah.
That was weird. That's yeah. very specific. Like a very specific amount of time. Like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
No, but what do you mean?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that was scary AF.
Yes. Okay, so they get back.
T'Sana is such a... I'm sorry. She's like, such a dum-dum. Like, did we learn nothing from the wine? Did we learn nothing from drinking the wine?
Did we learn nothing? You got, like, a very vague...
Very weird letter.
Like, cryptic, weird letter.
Whoop, off I go!
When the refugees call, I answer.
I come a-running.
Another moment where it's like, where's Sorrel? Where's he at? Where are you at?
Where is Where you he? At? What's Brent? He doing?
Anyway, she eats the soup and she's like, I feel funny. I'm like, no shit, it's poisoned, you dumbass.
It's poisoned, you dumb-dumb.
You dumb-dumb. So anyways, T'Sana's taken away. Max loses his shit. They find a soldier. They question the soldier. The soldier's like, she's already dead. Like, they've killed her.
I know.
And he's like, no.
She's not.
Like, she's not dead.
She's not. I did love when they were like asking all these questions and then he just is like, all right, well, I gotta go full servant man. And just, like, flicks his eyelids down.
He's like, slim,
where is she?
Where's T'Sana?
And then the guy's like, at the palace. Oh, God.
So then he's like, I'm going by myself because I'm a fire serpent man. And yeah. you guys aren't. So I'm going to go and you guys are going to stay
I
here.
Did love this. You know I love a, like, oh, I'm going to protect you.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love
he's
it.
Storming down the hallway, drawing the stratigrams. And they're like, where are you going? Yeah. He's like, I'm already gone. Like, don't follow me. I'll be back with her in no time.
But then of course. So I was like, God damn it, Nura. Then you just sent the fucking army in anyways when he told you not
to. Okay, so meanwhile, T'Sana is getting locked in the white room.
Oh, God.
And, you know, this woman named Irene is like, okay, well, I'm going to take Rache into my body. And, okay, good luck with that bitch.
Yeah, have fun. Have fun.
Why are people wanting to host Rache? Like, I don't think you know what you're signing up for.
Does this look fun? Does this look an enjoyable experience?
She's fucking deranged. Like,
honestly,
I
in that moment, I was like, take her. Get her out of there. That sounds fun.
I know.
Great.
I was like, go, Irene.
I was like,
go
maybe
ahead.
Rache will gift some magic to T'Sana.
And
like,
then head on out.
And then
bye.
Just like she did for... With you Max. Know, Max. But anyways, so this woman is like trying to take Rache out, and Rache's like screaming, like, no, I want to stay with T'Sana because he loves T'Sana.
We're besties.
They're besties. Interesting here though, when Rache is trying to be pulled out of her, she mm-hmm. sees, quote, I saw purple blood spilling over marble floors. And who has purple blood? The Fae.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. So then she's like, okay, I'm gonna do that thing I did at the end of book one where I'm gonna like embrace what's happening uh-huh. and basically come at it from the back door.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can think to describe
this.
We go
back into the damn dreamscape that confused me in book one.
I read this and I was like, Christine is not going to like this.
Yes.
And
we're back. We're back in the plains. But thankfully, she got out of there pretty quickly. She
thankfully,
was like,
This was very quick.
Yeah.
But she does see all the little, like, tethers, like, I think of them as, like, strings up in the air.
Yeah.
Okay. And she sees, like, Rache's and she sees hers. And then, but she, there's this one. She goes, there was something else up there too, another glow, another soul, far more distant than Irene's and Rache's, but treading incandescent rivulets across the sky nevertheless. Like the claw marks of something trying to drag itself closer. If I reached for it, a shiver ran through me, a shiver of hatred, of despair, of grief, and a strange familiarity. What does that mean?
What does it mean?
Don't know.
I
don't know. Okay, so then Max shows up.
He's
full Fire Serpent Man. And the army shows up and Max is like, we have to, like, Nura went against his wishes and brought his army, and Max feels very protective of them because they've bonded and they respect him. Like, really yeah. respect Max, which I think is going to be important later. Like, I feel like he's won the men over, you know, and the women over of his soldiers. And so Tassan is like, let's do another performance, like, together. Let's end this now. And so I love it. It's like the battle began in fire and ended in ashes.
Ooh,
and, you know, so Tassana notes that, like, the men and women are, like, looking at Max with, like, reverence.
Yeah.
Yes.
That, like, it's not the fear that he once felt after what happened to him 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that they did something, you know, she's like, we changed the narrative. We're not using this as, like, an obliteration.
Yeah.
We're putting on a show.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then she goes up to the refugees who betrayed her and she gives a little speech.
I love this.
And she's, like, bleeding, like, barely standing up.
Barely conscious.
But she keeps her fire, like, her magic alive. And she says, I have won Xerath Aldrus's war, and now I will win ours. We are the children of fallen gods and lost empires. We are the memories of bones in the plains, and we are more than they ever thought we would be.
I love that.
Love it.
Very Aelin. Very,
yes, very Aelin. Yes, very, yes, yes, yes.
Love it. Love a, like, very, like, dramatic, like, ending line of, like, I am this, and we are this, and we're going to do this.
And everyone's here for it. Yes.
Love it.
Wow. Okay.
So that's the end of part one.
Yeah.
That's the end.
Let's do theories really quickly.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, Anna,
I think we have the same theory.
I was going to say, Anna, y'all go.
I will commentate.
Okay. So I think Rache and Aepha are connected.
Yes.
I'm not 1,000% convinced that they are one and the same, because I'm still not convinced on the timeline of events.
I feel like things
are happening simultaneously.
Right.
But I think that what Aepha is what Rache used to be.
Okay.
And so Aepha is what, Rache could be what happens to Aepha if things go awry.
Oh.
But then I say that, and a lot of the things, though, that Aepha is seeing is exactly what Rache remembers. Unless they are tied in a deeper way, I don't know, like, through the gods somehow.
Yeah.
But Rache says, you know, I dream of a wall of black, like glass or wet stone. There was a silhouette reflected there, one that never quite came into focus.
Mm-hmm.
Aepha lives in a city of black stone of obsidian.
Also in that quote, she says, one that never quite came into focus, not even when I came close enough to press my palm to its surface, which is what she always does. She always puts her hand on the obsidian. That's like what she does with her dad. And she talks about putting her hand on the wall of black
stone.
Slick glass or wet stone. And it's the fact that she just, like, comes up and puts her palm on it was very interesting to me. Yeah.
And there's always these moments of, like, when Rache is, like, trying so hard to grasp at a face, but the face always gets away.
Yeah.
I mean, there's multiple, there's, like, literally four different quotes that talk about that. But the other thing that was interesting to me was Aepha, when we first meet her, she shows the X's on her arm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the X's, she says, the greatest punishment among the Sidonie, the erasure of a story, or worse, the potential for one.
Yes.
That's, like, the worst punishment you can ever have.
Yes.
And what does Rache say when Tassana says, what do you want? A story.
Yes. All she wants is a story. Because the worst thing would be to erase the potential for a story.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay. So then the other thing that was striking
mm-hmm.
was when Ishka or whatever transforms into his owl
yes.
for the
okay.
first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we see it. So it says, the quote is, a beautiful golden owl, champagne gold feathers glistening in a white face with those same piercing yellow eyes.
Mm-hmm.
In book one, in part two of our episode at the end, I'm pretty sure I read the quote,
yeah.
but at the end, Rishay is showing a memory in that final battle. And the memory is like golden hair, bright eyes, and champagne feathers. A forgotten name screamed over and over and over again until it was swallowed by stone.
Like champagne feathers?
Champagne feathers is such an, a very that specific color.
I just, y'all, I can't figure out the timeline. That's okay. My only hang up.
So I have one more thing on this, just on this note really quickly.
Okay.
There is a moment where she is talking about like the memories and the things, whatever. So she says, a fragment of golden hair, a glance of mossy green. This is how Cadwan is described. His head rolled, eyes opened barely enough to peer at me. They were a mossy green, a color unseen among the Cydnii.
This unseen.
Yeah, but like the mossy green.
What?
Like, did you know that too? The mossy green. I was like, mossy green. Where do we know mossy green? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm telling you something. They are so connected.
They are. They're definitely connected. Yes. They definitely are.
Yeah.
I feel like it is the past because Cadwan talks about the butterflies, which is like in their present day. It's like their house. Mm-hmm. They just got attacked. Mm-hmm. And then in Tassana's POV, he says that they are long extinct, just like all magically sensitive creatures.
Mm. Yep.
So mm-hmm. now this could be a situation mm-hmm. where we're talking about where Nura says the Fae are extinct and maybe they're not. Or right. maybe we, Aoife is in the past. And she is...
We're what, seeing like, Rishay. Uh-huh.
We're saying, like, her, and then she maybe becomes Rishay. I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's either that, or they are somehow living in lands that are completely hidden from the
Fae. Each other.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or from the human. Sorry. From, like, Max and Tassana's world.
I don't know why I want them to meet, but I want them to
I
meet.
I do, too.
Oh, no, me
so, like,
too.
A part of me
too.
Is, like, doesn't want it to be the past, because I think, selfishly, I just want to see Tassana and... Aoife, but I also get that if it's separate.
Guys, I just, okay, I don't know. I don't know. They're connected somehow. We don't Agreed. Know how. I am very excited to finish reading.
I'm stressed out, but like, I'm very excited.
Yes. I can't wait to see like, oh my God, I can't
I'm
wait
excited.
To see what happens.
Also, it's really exciting that we have a whole nother book after this, because if this was the last book, I'd be sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So part two will be out 2 weeks after this episode.
Yes.
And obviously our Patreon is up and running, which
yes!
is so exciting.
So, exciting.
We have lots of fun behind the scenes loopers and stuff with us on Zoom that we'll share.
So yeah, definitely find us on there. You can just search Flights of Fantasy Patreon. It'll pop right up. And of course, make sure you're following us on Instagram so that you can like be up to date with everything. And we obviously love DMing with you guys. So feel free to DM us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast. And be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers. Cheers, listeners. Happy reading. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.